Hello and welcome to Tyshar Manetherin, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Sam.
I'm Will.
We're back again discussing Crown of Swords, and we're going to dive on in here to chapter two. Will, you can take us away when you're ready.
All right. Chapter two, The Butcher's Yard, which I rated a skim. I really struggled with deciding whether this was a read or a skim. The first part of this chapter is about Perrin dealing with the reality of the battle's aftermath. And there's some really great prose here.
Right. Yeah, nothing like super moving, important happens, but it is like pretty good stuff. I agree.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, there's this whole comparison of, you know, him dealing with the different people's deaths as like hammer strokes. And he's talking about how a blacksmith doesn't have to deal with death in this way. But then in the middle of the chapter, it kind of gets a little muddy, a little boring. And mm-hmm. We get reintroduced to everyone that we already know. And then the end has some more interesting stuff. So overall, I'd say it's a skim. I would have to say make sure to catch everything at the start and the finish, because there's some good stuff in both. So first off, no surprise, Perrin, whose perspective we're in, feels responsible for the deaths of all these many different people in these different armies. Ironically, he observes Rand looking around doing the exact same thing, pretty much.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Only Rand is mainly concerned with getting the names of the women.
The ladies, yep.
Yeah, who died, to add to that ever-growing list.
That he recites to himself to send him off to sleep every night, except, you know, he doesn't really sleep. So,
yeah. This kind of freaks everybody out. Everybody kind of at some point or another says, hey, that's weird that he's just walking around staring at dead bodies.
Yeah, even the Aiel, who are like normally just cool with whatever wacky stuff Rand does, are kind of like,
exactly.
Not super great.
Then we get reminded of everyone who is present, which if you're not reading them back to back,
can be useful. Sure.
Right. Yeah. It's helpful for sure.
It's probably useful for Robert Jordan to be like, all right, now what was I doing here?
Right. But if you are reading them now for the first time, then you're almost definitely reading them back to back.
Right. And this is the point at which you're going, should I stop? Right. The answer, dear reader, is please don't. Please continue. It does get better, just not for a good long while.
Yes. You have some minor character moments with this, and none of it really affects the plot here.
You know, I think we're going to get through this whole episode without having many major plot points, I'm afraid.
I agree with you. There's one big one that we get to later, or uh-huh. You know, but or kind of big one. It's, you know, just
sure. Hey, compared to the rest of what's happening here, certainly.
Right. Yeah. The Aes Sedai finally convinced Rand to accept healing, but he'll only take it from Alana, mm-hmm. Whom he points to without looking at her.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And Perrin doesn't understand how that's possible. We, of course, know that it's because they're bonded, which also kind of explains why Rand is more likely to trust Alana, since whatever happens to him will affect her. And by the way, she's not doing great dealing with.
Nope.
You know, and after she heals him, she says, how do you deal with the pain? Referring to his never healing wound in his side. And he doesn't really answer. He just gets back to matters at hand, like the matter of what to do with the prisoner Aes Sedai.
Everybody's like, maybe we should just kill them. But
yeah. Now, Sorlia thinks that they should go to the Wise Ones, and Taim thinks that they should be taken into the Ashaman's custody. And both of them think that not only the prisoners, but also the friendly-ish Aes Sedai should be included in this group. And after some squabbling, where both are kind of making their case, Rand says that the Wise Ones will take the prisoner Aes Sedai, and that'll be that. Then Taim demands that Rand take more Ashaman with him as an honor guard. Rand says, well, I've already picked some out already. Taim's like, no, those are soldiers and dedicated. I want you,
need
to take
some real true blue Ashaman.
Exactly. And Rand's like, okay, but I'll pick him. And
right.
Then he chooses this
the
guy.
The most absent-minded, weird-looking, maybe crazy dude he could find.
Right. Corlin DeShiva.
Which, like, seems sort of brilliant. It's like, okay, well, if you're going to find somebody that's not, you know, in Taim's corner or whatever, then right. that seems like a pretty good strategy.
Yeah.
Know? And like long term, we'll see how that plays out. But it is, you know, you could sort of see maybe why he did that.
Exactly. Taim immediately is like, no, Dashiva is not a good choice.
Right, right. Like, dude, no, you don't want that guy. No, he's not going to help you out.
He's basically the least of all the people that have obtained the rank of Ashaman. He's always got his head in the clouds and spaced out all the time. And of course, that just confirms Rand's decision.
Sure. Like, well, definitely then. That's who I want.
Right. Because he does not trust Taim. Rand has a brief interaction with Loial where Rand agrees that he'll recount the whole story of being stuck in the box for Loial's book, but after he's gotten some time to rest up in Kyrian.
Right, right.
And Rand and Perrin also get into a little kind of pissing match over how to handle the prisoner Aes Sedai, and in which Rand isn't totally sure he's not just going to kill them all.
Right, right.
Perrin is like, no.
Perrin's like, dude, you're not going to kill him. You're not going to kill him.
And pretty much Rand is pretty much clearly not going to kill them, I think. But, you know, he's also got to put on this like
dragon
kind of veneer of, hey, it's an option.
Strike the fear of the creator into him a little bit.
Right. Min finally breaks the tension of him up and be like, are you done? Like, you too.
She's like pretty much the only one that can get through Rand's craziness, you know,
right
at this point.
And so they both calm down, and Rand asks Dashiva if he can open a gateway, and Dashiva says, oh yeah, the Mahale teaches everyone to travel if they're powerful enough. And Rand's like, the Ma-what?
Who now?
Then Dashiva explains that the Mahale is Taim's title, and it means leader in the old tongue.
Mahale! bless you.
Rand doesn't seem all that psyched about the title, but...
Nope.
In his defense, he does have a crazy man in his head telling him to kill Taim every chance he gets.
Yes. Yes, he does.
So, chapter 3, Hill of the Golden Dawn. I put this one as him, and the first half is pretty much skip-worthy. After the gateway opens and Rand's entourage walks through to a hill outside of Kyrian, Perrin muses about the banners, this banner and that banner, and the Queen of Andor wouldn't be happy. And who's the Queen of Andor these days anyway?
A whole lot of like, let's go somewhere and talk to some people, and not really much of stuff is going to happen, but we're going to do it anyway.
And again, if you have reading the books all in order, none of this is new information. You know what banners the Two Rivers are carrying with them. You know who the Queen of Andor was, who it's supposed to be next, and all of those different things. None of that's new information. So it's completely repeating everything that you already know. So the group starts preparing for battle after that. Rand has correctly assumed that his enemies wouldn't just sit on their hands in his absence.
Sure. So he's going to go in stealth mode in Camelon.
And he does mention that he can trust. Well, he says he can only trust Perrin, Min, and Loial of the people that are gathered there. Mm-hmm. And Perrin is noticing through these chapters some strange things about Rand's scent. The fact that it'll change rapidly, like from complete one thing to a completely different like feeling. And sometimes he'll be filled with enough emotions for two men. And so
it does start making the argument. I don't know. I guess I can't decide if it's for or against Rand being crazy at this point. You know, and this isn't a spoiler. This is like a legitimate question up to this point. Is Rand partly crazy, or does he actually have a dead man in his head?
Right.
And because no one else has that. And all the other people that have been spun back out of the wheel don't also have the person that they were the previous time, their like actual presence in their head.
Right.
Like it doesn't really seem like it's something that happens to anyone else, but like, okay, well, Rand's the dragon reborn, so sure. Maybe it happens to him, but I don't know. So like the fact that Perrin is having this smell, it's like, well, maybe he does have two people in his head, him and Luthien, or maybe he's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it could just be a moot point because Luthien's definitely crazy. So he has a crazy person in his head.
Right. Yeah, it's one way or another, he has a crazy person in his head, whether that's just him.
Right. Right. And like, you know, we know he already has all the memories of his past life, just like, you know, Matt has. And like that, it can be explained for Luz Theron remembering things because Rand just is Luz Theron. And so if he's a crazy person, that could just be why, or he legitimately could have Luz Theron in his head. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, Perrin seems to kind of understand what's going on.
That yeah, sure.
Because of this, because he just says to himself that he sure hopes that Rand will continue to stay sane enough.
Right. So say we all.
So finally, we get something a little more interesting. Ferragin, who's not a particularly important character, I don't think, or Ferragin, and it's an Aiel wise one that is not terribly important. She stayed behind in Kyrian, so she approaches and reports first to the Wise Ones about everything, and then they turn around and kind of report it to Rand after that. So first off, we find out there's a large number of Aiel who have left due to another bout of the bleakness, which it's kind of this mass depression that strikes the Aiel, causing them to abandon Rand's cause. And even some of the clan chiefs are starting to doubt him because, of course, he just disappeared. Yep. And so they, you know, are wondering if he abandoned them or thinking he's actually just working for the Aes Sedai and like on their leash. So there is some real danger here of the Aiel splintering further. And this is part of the reason why I rated this a skim and not a skip, is that there's some stuff here. Sure. And then this is where it's confirmed that indeed Kolaver has seized the Sun Throne and has been crowned Queen of Kyrian. And this immediately makes Perrin worried for Fael's safety because, and then he's like, oh, well, but Bane and Shiad will take care of her, right? And so he's like, okay, it's cool. Then Rand asks about Berelane, who's still safe, according to Ferragin. Kolaver has been trying to order the Aiel to go south and like making up these lies about, oh, the dragon, he'll meet you there, or that's where he wants you to go.
He told me in a private message via, I got an email this morning. I swear.
And of course, they haven't done that. I actually think that this may have played to Rand's advantage because the Aiel don't like to be ordered around.
No, you know? No. So they were definitely not going to go at that point. If they were thinking about it, they're like, oh, well, definitely not now.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to stick around at least a little bit longer.
Make it look like she didn't tell us to go.
Right. Exactly. There are also some Kyrian nobles who have, including Moraine's cousin, who've gathered outside the city and declared that Kolaver is a usurper, but they seem to just be kind of chilling out and feasting instead of doing anything about it. So, and there's also some Aes Sedai still in the city. The Wise One estimate that there may be 10 walking around. And this alarms Rand, because you know this, but he recently had a less than awesome experience with some Aes Sedai.
Indeed.
Karuna, who, you know, was one of the Aes Sedai on his side at Dumai's Wells, but also was forced to kneel and swear, and is not at all used to her new position of having to take orders. She starts telling Rand exactly what he should do, just takes it in stride that he's going to just listen to her. And she kind of goes on for a while, like, well, okay, you're going to do this and we're going to go with you and we're going to tell him this and this is going to happen. And she just goes on. And then the whole time Perrin is like, oh no, Rand's just going to be so angry about all this. And Rand just stands there and listens to her. And then after she's done, he's just like, right. Okay. So the Wise Ones are going to take all the Aes Sedai.
Right.
and make sure people know that they're Aes Sedai and be sure to order them around some so that people get the idea that I am not controlled by the Aes Sedai.
He's a bit of a jerk about this. You understand why he is, but he really plays it up a couple of times. Just like, oh man, dude. Yeah. I get it, but man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, in his defense, he did have some Aes Sedai throw him into a box.
He did. So. He did. Not necessarily these Aes Sedai. Yes. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's also trying to prove a point here. And
Yeah. And that's an important point to prove to the Aiel specifically. Like, you need to, they need to know you are not an Aes Sedai puppet. That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. He just sends them off like, you know, you just go with the wise ones. At some point, Perrin asks if Faile is okay. And Farragut answers. She's like, oh, I think so. And he's like, what do you mean? Do you think so? And then around that time, a little after, Gaul like sidles up and he's like talking like women. Right. I mean, like Bane and Chiad and all that, blah, blah, blah. And just they were saying to me because they're just over there. And he's like, wait. They're here. They're with the maidens.
Right. They're not like, protecting her.
So he's like, of course, very anxious and Loyal is like trying to soothe them to no effect whatsoever. Chapter 4 is into Kyrian, which I rate a big old fat skip.
Excellent.
If you're listening to this recap and you want to save time in this chapter, you should skip it. There's nothing wrong with the chapter. It's actually not incredibly boring, but nothing really happens. It's it's just about them walking into Kyrian,
right.
And we don't get to Kolivar until the next chapter.
Right.
And really, there are just like three things you need to know about to be ready for the next chapter. From this one, number one, Kolivar has moved the four gators, that's the lower class people, back outside the gate, circumventing Rand's changes to their whole structure of society, which is not a huge thing other than just telling you that Kolivar is a jerk and that she's ignoring what Rand has done.
Right.
Number two is that there is some debate before they head in as to who should go into the city, which makes sense. Bringing a whole army into town might send the wrong message since they're currently marching with.
Especially since they like this city has been involved in multiple wars involving the Aiel on the opposite side.
Right, exactly. Dashiva suggests that Rand should send someone in as messenger, but Rand ignores him, which he seems to be doing to almost everyone advising him in these chapters.
Right.
And Perrin notes that Dashiva's scent seems angry with Rand. After some discussion, Rand brings Loyal, Men, Dobraine, Nerell, some maidens, Perrin, Arim, and all
a
of
partridge
his
in a pear tree.
Yeah, I think I made that joke at the end of the last book, but it's true. I mean, it's just like, oh, here's the list of people they're bringing, and then he brings all the Ashaman except for Flynn, who stays behind with the army. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, Perrin finds out that Faile is not only perfectly fine, but she's become one of Kolivar's attendants. Mm-hmm. So that's what's up with that. So that's really all you need to know from chapter 4. So moving on to chapter 5, we mentioned something does happen in these chapters.
Right, right. This is the thing that happens. Then we talk about it a lot. Yep.
This is a fun chapter, though.
It is. It is.
And I rated a read of these chapters. It's my favorite easily because it is fun when you have a character that you're like, oh, they're going to get it. They're going to get it the whole time. And you just know Kolivar. She's like, you know, it's not going to work out for her.
No, it's not. She really wants it to. She's really convinced that it will and really wrong.
So the small party that Rand has selected enters the Grand Hall of the Sun, and there are gasps of surprise from all the nobles who are conveniently gathered together. Rand approaches Kolivar sitting on the Sun throne, who's wearing her crown. Perrin notices Faile on the dais. Rand asks Kolivar if, oh, are you looking around for Aes Sedai? Is that what you're doing? Because I sent them to hang out with the Aiel to be taught some manners. And Kolivar, of course, feigns
She's
welcome.
Like, oh, I haven't. Oh,
no. Yes. Hi. Thank you so much. And Rand is pointing at the throne. He's like, you know, I was going to give this to Elaine, right?
Just, keeping it warm for her.
Yeah. Kolivar tries to explain that, well, they haven't had a ruler in so long, and they needed a ruler. And Elaine's probably dead anyway, which it's like, you know.
It's not helping your case to say that kind of thing, lady.
Because
that's his boo.
In addition to, like, even if you didn't know that they were sweet on one another, the rumor is that he killed her. So.
right. You don't want to bring that up.
But, and then, you know, after her defense, she's, oh, my Lord Dragon, what has been done cannot be undone, which is, you know, the line. Rand reaches out and takes Kolivar's crown, which makes her flinch. I love this image of her like, hey,
right,
don't hurt me.
Yeah.
He just takes the crown off her head. Now, it's made of metal. This isn't one of those plastic ones that Sam wears when he dances around at that special restaurant on Tuesday nights. This is real metal, is all I'm saying.
Right.
Rand breaks the crown, probably with the power. And then using the power, mends it right back. Just breaks it, mends it right back.
Right.
Which does freak out Kolaver for a moment. She's, you know, gets kind of humbled. But then Rand accuses her of killing the other nobles that are kind of her rivals. And she angrily denies this and says that she is queen by law and there is no evidence against her. So she calls her Aes Sedai advisor, Anura, who appears from out of nowhere, kind of like, here I am. She's like, advise me. And Anura's like,
I'm going to stay out of this.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Perrin looks around the room and notes all the people watching with like great intensity that you can, I mean, and people just like, what's going to happen? And in the middle of them is Loyal, who is taking out his quill and inkwell and is hurriedly
taking notes.
Notes. And I just love this image. Like, I picture a pan across, everybody's staring, and there's Loyal. And just, I got to get this down.
Got, like, a book against, like, some noble's back, just.
Right. And saying, like, oh, this is good stuff. Oh, snap. Oh, no, she didn't. So Anura steps forward and explains that she's actually the advisor to Berylane.
I'm just here sort of partially advising. I'm not primarily advising.
Right.
I'm advising and several people.
She says, Kolaver, just because you say somebody is your advisor doesn't make them your advisor.
Right.
So apparently Kolaver had just like grabbed her and like, said,
you're the only Aes Sedai here, please.
And it was probably, you know, an attempt to try to further legitimize her as queen in the eyes of the other nobles.
Sure.
Then Fael, who is, you know, up on the dais, finally steps forward and explains that Kolaver definitely had been scheming against the other nobles that are now dead.
Yeah.
And Rand. And what's more, the woman that Fael had heard this from was almost definitely murdered by Kolaver shortly after telling her.
Oh, dear.
Then Dobrain steps forward and he declares that, well, she's guilty of treason, for which the penalty is death. Rand is like, oh, I don't want to kill her, though.
Right. I've got this thing about not killing ladies.
Kolaver continues to deny it. She's like, you know, I bring forth this witness you claim to have. I'm sure she's left and isn't around. But if she is, then I will tell her she's wrong. And
right.
Finally, Anura explains that indeed she found people involved in the death of Kolaver's rivals, both of whom said they were acting on Kolaver's orders. Mm-hmm. So, and then Dobrain is like, so she's guilty. So how are we going to kill her? He's like, you know, traditionally it's the headsman's axe, but you know, Rand, you've been making it so that everybody gets hanged. So which one do you want?
Yeah, pick one, man.
Rand shocks everyone by first stripping Kolaver of her land and titles,
which is so much worse than being killed. Oh my god!
And then exiling her to a farm that she is supposed to work.
To work at,
so she can't leave more than a day's walk away from it, and that they'll send guards to make sure that she doesn't. Dobrain is clearly a little bothered by this, but he's like, okay, yeah, I'll help set that up.
Right.
And Kolaver faints dead away.
Right.
Rand catches her with the power and lowers her to the ground. Anura says, I suspect she would have preferred the headsman. Rand then tells Anura to take him to Berylane because he wants to hear about why Berylane was hiding an Aes Sedai advisor from him.
For real.
Then Rand turns to the gathered nobles and says, I will forget every face gathered here if you leave now.
Get out.
Which causes a mad dash for the door, which sounds pretty comical. Like,
it does,
That should be one of those, everyone who leaves now, and then just a pause, and then everyone just breaks for the door as fast as they can. And
gets caught in the door frame.
Right, yeah, tripping all over each other and everything. So then
Monty Python mixed in, maybe.
Yeah, I'll maybe play Yakety Sax as soon as it goes. On to chapter 6, the final chapter of this episode of our podcast, Old Fear, New Fear. Okay, I set a skim
right
for this one, but depending upon how you feel about Fail, this may be a skip. I know there's some, like, Fail is kind of like a 50-50. Like, there's a lot of people that really don't like Fail. And then I'm more of a pro Fail kind of guy. And so that's why I say a skim on this one. But I do understand if you're not a fan of her, because you're not getting a lot of plot details here that actually affect what's going on in the rest of the book. Right. It's just a little bit of about Fail's relationship with parents. So, again, the hall is still emptying comically fast, which leaves Perrin and Fail on the dais. This adds to the funniness to the image that, like, everybody's running out and it's just like the handful of people that Rand brought in.
Right.
And Fail still standing there. Before Dobrin leaves, he says that Rand should have beheaded Kolaver. Perrin thinks that Dobrin must have believed that it would have been more merciful.
Yeah, and he really does.
Fail seems relieved that Rand is clearly not controlled by Aes Sedai, and Perrin realizes that that's why Fail didn't speak up right when they walked in.
Yeah.
And that she had to make sure they weren't being puppeted by the power somehow.
Right.
And as they talk, Perrin also realizes that Fail is still jealous regarding Barrelaine.
Mm-hmm. And still hadn't gotten the picture yet, have you, buddy?
He amusedly thinks that Fail believes no one has the right to knife him but her.
Right.
This whole time, by the way, Fail has a fan in her hand and she's doing various little subtle movements throughout their conversation. Mm-hmm. And it just mentions that Sildaeans have a whole language of fan dancing where they can say things silently by placing the fan, you know, against their hand or their cheek or their wrist or different things. And it's all supposed to be kind of graceful, and Perrin doesn't know much of it.
It's just like she's doing something with a fan again. I don't know what it is.
Right. I just like that bit of texture. I hope they find a way to work it into the show.
Sure.
It's not an important thing, but it's just an example of something that, you know, RJ does that. It's fun to me the way.
Yeah,
that
you could tell he thought through that, even though we don't get a lot about it right here. We don't get, like, he probably thought about it a good bit, and, you know, really.
Right. So back in their room, Fail's still talking about how much she dislikes Barrelaine, and Perrin briefly loses his temper with her and angrily just explains that he could love no one but her. And
those were the magic words. That's what he had, that's what he had to do.
Of course, him yelling at her is what finally makes Fail happy. Because Sildaeans are weird.
Yep.
I actually think this part's kind of cute, and this little moment that's coming up is the part that made me rate it a skim. But again, if you're one of the people who hates Fail, that's just going to frustrate you. So,
right
as it's clear that Fail is about to suggest that they get busy, Rand barges in, and he's like, "Hey, Perrin, I wanted to."
Have some sense here, man.
Yeah, Fail says something like, "Oh, my Lord Dragon, I didn't hear you knock."
Right.
After a brief awkward moment, Rand once again asks Perrin to lead an army to Ilion. Perrin says no, because nothing can happen in this chapter. That's the rule.
Nothing at all. Yep.
And so no change there. He does remind Rand that Min said that there would be two times wherein Perrin needs to be close to Rand to avoid disaster. And so assuming that Dumai's Wells was one, there is probably still another one coming. And so Rand's, fair enough. And after another pointless squabble about what to do with the prisoner Aes Sedai that basically works the exact same way as the earlier one did, Rand leaves and Perrin and Fail try to kind of pick up where they left off. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of the chapter. So that's the end of that chapter. I did have...
Before we get into that, I did want to... I want to make this a whole section, but it's something I'm going to bring up again and again. So I'm just going to go ahead and, like, do you think that this plot line up till now, Kolaver,
will be in the show. Okay. And like, obviously hand waving when we'll get to this point and all that sort of thing. This whole subplot, we know if and when we get there, Dumas Wells 100% will be in the show. Great. Right. Awesome. After this, like, for say half of this book, all the things that happen, like, what do we really think? Do we really think after Dumas Wells, we're going to descend into all of this kind of like petty squabbling about the Kyrian and crown, which we've already dealt with in past right. books? Like, this is just retreading this. I mean, admittedly, this was a cool scene. This was some interesting stuff. It doesn't feel very important.
Yeah.
You know, no. So it's like, will they even do this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it kind of depends on the pacing that they're at that point in the series.
Right. Right.
And yeah. Because if they go the pace that it sounds like they're going at this point, then absolutely not.
I yeah, mean, there's no exactly. Way. That's exactly the thing. Like, if we're going to be, you know, halfway through book two by the end of the first season, like,
right.
Then yeah, this will be on the cutting block for sure.
Yeah.
And that might be okay, especially when we get to the slog. And it's just really a question of what would we miss by not having this whole, by say even not having the character of Kolaveer. I don't know.
Right.
You know, like, it's a question.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, we already had a whole climax a few books ago where they took
right.
Kyrian.
Yeah. Like, that's in the bag. Like, let's just, we got a lot of other nations to unite before we can get to Sheol Gol. So can we please get on to the rest of the uniting and leave the two alone that we've already got, like,
right.
You know, leave Tyr, Camelin, Kyrian. Let's just move on. Move on to Ilion. Some of these other, I don't know, farm adding, you know, just,
yeah.
let's just keep things moving.
Right.
So I could see them definitely making that choice. And I'm not convinced it would be a wrong choice. Readers or listeners, if you have an opinion on this, I'm interested. Make yeah. the case. Why should the show include this
oh, yeah.
entire subplot with Kolaveer? I would love to hear a good argument for it, because I can't yeah. think of one. I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, it's one of those that I would miss it for nothing else for this scene.
Yeah,
but
it's a good scene.
But at the same time, like you're saying, I don't know if it adds much. So right, if you're talking about like, hey, we're having to be expedient. Yeah, it falls into the category of things that could be cut and I wouldn't be terribly upset about it.
Sure.
I don't know. I had some pictures of this is the first time that we have Ashaman just out in the real world.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
And so that's the part I think I would be like, you know, hey, that's a first.
That you could have it in like a pair of scenes, this scene and the scene in Camelin, and like just do it in like a 5-minute segment. And admittedly, it'd still be a lot to it to get all the extras for the scene, et cetera. But I could see them, they wanted to still include it for that reason or for another, if for no other. Then you could do it quickly. You could cut out a lot of this travel and a lot of this catching up and a lot of this going around the room. And
so here, I'm going to tell Rafe what he should do with this scene. Here's what he should
all
do.
Right.
We know Dumas Wells has to be a season finale, right?
Oh, yeah.
So at the beginning of whatever season this starts off, you have your little bit of catch up. You have something where somebody says to Rand that, oh, well, Kolaveer is probably taken the throne by now and is even wearing a crown, and he just says, well, whatever is done can be undone. Smash cut to him standing in front of her and her saying, my lord dragon.
I like it. That's good.
And
just a little montage.
What's been done cannot be undone. And then have him take the crown
yeah,
off, break
sure.
it, put it back, and then drop it. Just have him turn around and say, I'll forget everyone who leaves now.
Right.
And then,
do that
and that's
bit.
The scene. That's yeah, all you need.
Perfect. You could still take care of the plot point, have the character in the show, but not devote episodes and episodes to wasting time on yeah. something that doesn't matter. Yeah. No, that's
yeah.
good.
The chapters basically that I've covered here in like 5 minutes. And
yeah, and it is it's a valid point that while he was in the chest and kidnapped by Aes Sedai, something was happening in Kyrian, because we know that they're big on scheming, and that Kolevir was really interested in the crown. Like, this makes sense that it happened. It's just sort of annoying that we have to retread ground we've already covered. And so, Yeah, doing it quickly, like, all right, well, let's take care of this problem that cropped up while Rand was in the chest, but just do it quickly in the show. Yeah, I like that. That's good.
So, I do have a few spoilers that I are really just mainly one. So if you don't want to be spoiled at all, then join us for next week and we will be back on to the next set of chapters. So I hope you're gone now, because I'm going to say, and I'm curious to see if Sam remembers this, because he's talked about it, he doesn't remember, but Dashiva.
Right. Yeah. I remembered it coming up in one of our earlier episodes. I was trying to remember if it was Dashiva or Narishma. I was like, which one is the one? Then after I heard the description of Dashiva, it's just like with Taim. It's just a little bit too on the nose sometimes when he gets angry. He seems like he's a bad guy. Yeah. And he actually is.
Yeah, he's actually Osengar.
Right.
Formerly known as Aghanor, not to be confused with Arengar.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Who, of course, used to be Balthamel, but is now a woman.
Oh, jeez.
Just like we discussed when we had earlier chapters with Shiryam, and we're kind of like noticing things. I do notice a few things, because upon my first read through, unlike Taim, I didn't assume Dashiva was a bad guy. I feel like,
yeah, I didn't my first time either, but after we talked about it in an earlier episode, I was like, all right, I know it's one of these Ashaman that's with Rand, and I just can't remember which one. And then once he started this description, I was like, okay, it definitely is him.
I mean, like, one of the things that I notice is how Dashiva keeps bringing up, I just grew up on a farm, I don't know anything. Like, as often as he can. Like, at one point is not a big moment, because I that's why I didn't mention it. But there's a part where Rand is like saying to all the Ashaman that are with him, you think that they just sat still while I was in the box this whole time? And the others are like, nah, they're definitely been, you know, doing stuff while you're gone. And he and Dashiva's like, I don't know about things like that, sir. I'm just a simple countryman from a farm.
Right.
That's good. And, you know, you notice that. You also, he actually kind of screws up by mentioning that Mahale means leader.
Oh, yeah. Why in the old tongue. That? Yeah, unless...
Exactly.
Unless Taim had told him, I guess, would be the only way he would know.
The reason why I say he screwed it up is because what he says is, he after he says it, he quickly follows up by saying, I read it in a book that one of the peddlers from Botch of the Farm. And, like, I have to explain why I know
that's the old tongue. Yeah, I totally missed that. That's interesting.
And of course, finally, the fact that Dashiva seems so adamant that Rand not enter Kyrian, and then Perrin detects the anger in his scent, which does seem pretty different from his head in the clouds persona.
Yeah, and it's a weird detail to include. And it's like, anytime you see a detail like that, it's like, why did he include that? And obviously we know, because Dashiva is actually a Forsaken. And it's so funny, because, you know, Rand repeatedly told Taim, look out for anyone who learns too quickly. And he's like, I specifically told you to look out for Forsaken, dang it. And of course, we know Taim is also a dark friend, but...
Right. Yeah. So, well,
and Rand even chose one that he hoped was like completely harmless. And it got himself a Forsaken as a Taviren working against him, I guess.
Well, that brings up a good point, actually, because it does seem... I think Taim is genuine in him not wanting him to take Dashiva.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, I wonder if Taim knows.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
I really don't.
I can't remember when it all goes down.
Like, most of the Forsaken, at least, don't know Arengar. You know,
right?
Like, and so it makes sense that Taim would not know him, even if he knew other Forsaken, because you know, like, the Dark One spun them back out or whatever,
right?
And no one would know their faces, because they weren't the same faces. So I would guess Taim does not know, and he genuinely was just frustrated that Rand chose an Ashaman who was not loyal to Taim, who was not one of Taim's, you know,
exactly
secret, super special, mafia crony, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Towards, you know, later on in the last trilogy, they do actually start referring to them as his cronies.
Yeah. And, yeah. As opposed to Loghain's more real Ashaman.
Yeah. And so you kind of have the feeling that, yeah, he probably had a specific guy in mind when he was like, you need to take some real Ashaman.
Somebody that, you know, not necessarily to stick a dagger in his back immediately, but more so like someone who could keep tabs on Rand and then report back to Tyene what was happening. And Rand obviously saw that or at least had the same idea in his head of what he was not going
to
do.
It'll be interesting to see, like, be reminded of it. But I mean, up until the point that Dashiva is discovered to be Osengar, he's not all that effectual.
Yeah, no, you know, compared to other Forsaken, he doesn't exactly seem to have much of a master plan.
Right.
Like, I don't know if he spun back out, was just kind of like, I'm going to lay low, I'll get close to the Dragon Reborn, and when my opportunity comes, I'll be ready. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. That may have been it. He was just like biding his time and didn't exactly have a strategy. Was like, I don't know, just kind of see if I can.
Which sort of plays out, I feel like, at the end. I mean, you know, he kind of goes his own way and then dies suddenly, I think. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
He's killed by somebody randomly and that's it.
He does eventually strike back. So he definitely does try to take a moment eventually.
And it just fails.
Yep, of course. Destined.
Then we get to that end and it's like, oh crud, we have a bunch of Forsaken left to kill. We got to take care of all of them all of a sudden.
But anyway, that was all I had in the way of spoilers.
Cool. Thank you for joining us. Please, as usual, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Are we on Spotify?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I haven't checked. I've started getting podcasts on Spotify, which is a weird concept, but Spotify. Who knew? I guess if you're an Android person, Spotify is probably a better, more convenient place. I was an Android person for like a month until I broke my phone, and it was hard to get a podcast for a while. But there's stuff like this, like Spotify, that makes it really easy. And while you're at it, wherever you're getting your podcast, please leave us a review. We'd love to hear some feedback from you. Share us with any friends of yours who are into the Wheel of Time or interested in the Wheel of Time. You know, if they want to read and listen kind of at the same time, we're cool with that. You can always reach us at the social media places at Podcast TSM on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or visit our website at tsmpodcast.com. We have a contact form on there. We'd love for you to fill out, give us some information, say some nice things about us, and we will mention you on the show. So until next time, Tyshar Manethrin.